It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Elements of a Texas abortion law were struck down yesterday by the Supreme Court. Among the provisions in the case was a requirement that abortion clinics must meet the same health and safety standards as ambulatory surgical centers, as well as a mandate that doctors performing abortions must have admitting privileges to a hospital no more than 30 miles away. Now that the court has struck down the provisions, what could this mean for Pennsylvania, which is also debating parts of its abortion laws? I'm joined now in studio by Susan Fritchie. She's a senior staff attorney at the Women's Law Project here in Western Pennsylvania. Susan Fritchie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002 for your questions and comments. Susan Fritchie, this decision, a 5-3 ruling, is being called the most significant decision since Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992, which set the precedent that states could impose abortion restrictions as long as they did not create a, quote, undue burden, end quote, on women seeking abortions. Is that what the justices saw here, an undue burden?
Yes, absolutely. And the decision yesterday was a really welcome one in giving much more clarity to what the undue burden standard means when the state's purpose in restricting abortion is purportedly to protect women's health. So what Justice Breyer held is that courts have to consider the burdens of an abortion restriction, that is a health regulation, as well as whatever benefits it may confer. And when the supposed purpose of a restriction is to protect women's health, the restriction actually has to protect women's health. And courts are free to base their findings on common sense inferences drawn from the evidence. They don't have to take the state at its word that they're really just trying to protect women's health.
And it was interesting, as you mentioned, Justice Breyer wrote for the court on this. All of the women on the court sided with him, the three dissenters, including Chief Justice Roberts, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito. All men. What do you make of that?
Well, during oral argument, the women were particularly on fire. I mean, they deeply engaged with this case, deeply engaged with the record in this case, the factual record in this case. And I think you can see cared profoundly about it. Justice Ginsburg wrote a concurring opinion, a really short one, a really powerful one, a really passionate one. And in that decision, she said a point that, you know, what was just so gratifying to see brought out by the court, that when a state severely limits access to safe and legal procedures, women in desperate circumstances may resort to unlicensed rogue practitioners, faute de mieux, at great risk to their health and safety.
Justice Ginsburg cited your brief in concurring that the Texas state law was unconstitutional, and what it came to was a question of access for women seeking abortion rights, as you mentioned, but that had to be particularly gratifying for you.
That's about as gratifying as you can get when you're a lawyer. Yes, absolutely. And it was such a wonderful acknowledgement of our clients' experience. You know, the clients on our brief were 10 Pennsylvania abortion providers who had to suffer through converting to ambulatory surgical facility standards in the wake of the of the Kermit Gosnell scandal in 2011. And it was very, very difficult for them. Most, not all, of the Pennsylvania clinics survived. But at an enormous cost, both in terms of financial cost and cost to the patients who were subjected to longer waiting periods and delays.
I want to get into that. We'll get into the history for people that have lost track of who Kermit Gosnell is and what he did and how that really impacted. Both sides use that as an argument in, for or against these laws, and we'll get into some of that. But I do want to take your calls at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 if you have a comment or question for our guest, Susan Fritchie, Senior Staff Attorney of the Women's Law Project here in Western Pennsylvania. Let's go to Margo in Highland Park. Hi, Margo. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Sue, I was wondering if you could speak to the fact that a lot of people who are in the pro-choice community who believe that abortion is an important health issue for every woman. Pregnancy is not a simple thing. Can you speak to what undue burdens are still out there, even though the Supreme Court's case was resolved?
Thanks. Yes. It is really difficult to provide and to obtain an abortion in Pennsylvania. Recently, the state health department was required by Congress to produce Pennsylvania's abortion statutes, abortion regulations, and administrative guidances, and their production ran to 1,237 pages. What providers have to do just simply to be in compliance with a mountain of abortion statutes, which are typically criminal statutes, they're in Title 18, the Crimes Code of Pennsylvania, and regulations, violation of which can close your clinic down, and administrative guidances, is they basically need to be, they need to have a pretty good handle on the law. And I spend a great deal of my time advising them and guiding them because it is as difficult as you can imagine to grasp that entire body of changing law and apply it perfectly every time. In addition to that extremely complex regulatory labyrinth that they have to negotiate every day, there is overt terrorism directed against them. Pennsylvania abortion providers and reproductive health care providers have been firebombed. They have been stalked. They've been stalked on the internet. They have received death threats. They have gotten fake anthrax attacks. They have had the locks to their clinic doors glued, super glued shut over and over and over again. Their clinics have been invaded and vandalized and blockaded. And targeted harassment of abortion providers is at an all-time high. That's what they have to deal with just to come to work in the morning. For women seeking abortion, there are very few providers left. We have about 19 providers in Pennsylvania, all but 8 of whom can only do abortion by medication or very early non-sedation abortion procedures. They are concentrated in the urban areas of the state, vast reaches of Pennsylvania, where there are abortion patients do not have abortion providers.
What is the situation in other countries? What's happening in Europe with this, for example?
Is
there a contrast between how it's handled there and what we're seeing here, what you're just describing?
Yes, there's a sharp contrast. There simply is not the kind of culture war elsewhere that there is here. Here at one point in 2011, the Pennsylvania legislature spent one-third of its voting session days considering or moving or voting on or holding a hearing on abortion restrictions. That's ridiculous.
Well, now, there is the other side to this. And again, it's almost like you have to remind people that abortion is legal. It's a constitutional right. However, for their part, there are the Texas officials and others who agree with them, who say that these particular abortion clinic provisions were needed to protect women's health and avert another Gosnell incident. He was, again, the Pennsylvania man convicted in 2013 of murdering 3 infants born alive during illegal abortions. Anti-abortion groups insist that these laws protect women. Do they?
No. No, they don't. In fact, they endanger women. When you close down safe, responsible providers, you abandon your patients. marginal providers.
You end up having the opposite effect, which is to send women, particularly those of limited income, to someone, a monster like Kermit Gosnell.
You know, absolutely. And it's so frustrating for the Pennsylvania providers who joined our brief. They were the source of information about Kermit Gosnell, if only they had been listened to. If you shut them down, then you really are abandoning women to home remedies, to marginal or criminal providers, to the bad old days.
To the things that existed in this country, and we all know that it went on prior to 1973,
yeah.
Prior to Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
In 2011, legislators in Pennsylvania cited the Gosnell case to justify passage of the law requiring abortion clinics to be licensed as outpatient surgical centers here. So is there a difference between the Pennsylvania law and the Texas law? And if so, explain what it is.
Yeah, it's different in a number of ways. The different specific regulations vary from some of the specific regulations in Texas. Some are the same. But the biggest difference is that Texas applied its ambulatory surgical center regulations incredibly inflexibly only to abortion providers. So other ambulatory surgical centers that provided different kinds of medical care were able to get waivers from provisions that they were not able to comply with as long as they could show that no one's health was being hurt and they met the purpose of the provision some other way. Texas didn't allow abortion providers to get the benefit of those waivers. Pennsylvania does.
412-246-2002. Let's take a call from Lynn, who apparently is listening to us in Philadelphia. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I wanted to congratulate Sue and the Women's Law Project on this work and wanted Sue to kind of tell us what we as citizens who care about reproductive rights can do in this state. And also if there's a way to support and help the Women's Law Project and its advocacy in this issue.
What a wonderful question. Thank you so much, Lynn. So there's a lot of things that you can do. I think yesterday's decision should be a clear signal to our state legislators that it is no longer open season on abortion rights. And they need to stop passing these tidal waves of abortion restrictions. But despite that, just earlier this month, the state house passed what is arguably the broadest criminal law governing abortion in the country. House Bill 1948, it passed. It's over in the Senate. So anyone who cares about access to abortion care, to safe abortion care, needs to get in touch with their state senator and say, put the brakes on House Bill 1948 and any other provision that's going to be further cutting back access to this safe and important medical care.
A couple more questions before we wrap this up. Pennsylvania is among five states that require abortion facilities to be on a par medically and with outpatient surgical centers. You just pointed out the differences, between what we have here and what exists in Texas. So what does this mean for us if Pennsylvania's law does not rise to that same level of unconstitutionality? Then where exactly does it stand legally?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that it doesn't rise to that same level of unconstitutionality. We are going to be looking minutely and carefully over the coming weeks at the Supreme Court decision at our particular body of restrictive regulations. There were some particular regulations that Justice Breyer pointed out as being inappropriate as applied to surgical abortions. And those included requiring scrub facilities, maintaining a one-way traffic pattern through a clinic, having ceiling, wall, and floor finishes, you know, a whole bunch of things. Some of that we do have in Pennsylvania. One of our very wonderful clinics had to tear out a completely appropriate and brand new a bunch of ceiling tiles to replace it with other ceiling tiles. That kind of restriction, I don't think, will survive in the future. So we're going to be doing a point-by-point analysis of how our law needs to change.
And based on the developments yesterday, State Senator Dalen Leach is considering introducing legislation to repeal it.
Yes.
So there seems to be the possibility of some legislative action being taken. Well, you've certainly filled us in on a lot of aspects of this case, and it's been a pleasure talking with you, Susan Fritchie, Senior Staff Attorney at the Women's Law Project here in Western Pennsylvania. Great thanks.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Coming up next, a certified herbalist tells us which weeds are safe to eat. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.